Okay, I'm just going to ask you a question before I get started. So, I know I talk a lot. I get that. I know it. I understand it. I apologize, kind of in a way. I don't know. I turned it on. I know that. Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to ask you flat out. Do you like the background stories of this stuff? Is that something you want to hear? Because I know sometimes it takes a while for me to get to where I'm going, but there's so much background. God does so many things to get me to the place of the message that I get to share with you. Do you like hearing those stories? Or is that something, man, just get to the meat and let's go? What do you prefer? Do you want the story? All right, I'm going to give you the background story to what's going on here. All right, I'm getting away from the book of Acts this morning. Here's the background story. About 2 weeks ago, it's kind of interesting you guys are here this morning. Great in part, family part. 2 weeks ago, I was asked to do a funeral for a family. Actually, it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was actually asked to do a funeral for someone. I have no idea who they were, never met them, nothing. Had no idea who they were. And then it was just going to be a little graveside service, a very small service. And then a few days later, I was asked to do another little graveside service from someone not from the area, just coming back. They haven't been around for a long time and stuff. And so I thought, okay, that's cool. I can do that. Not a big deal. I'm just going to work up a really generic little message is what was in my mind. I'm going to work up this little generic message for a funeral. And it's not going to be any real big deal. And that's all it's going to be. And so I started working on this generic funeral message for these funerals. And it's turned out to be something that's just blown my mind. I mean, just exploded in my head. It's been absolutely crazy. And God changed it from something so generic to the most personal, life-changing idea and thing in my life. And it's been really cool because I use that message not only at one funeral and then the next funeral, and then it just keeps growing as my study of God's word, of this concept keeps growing. And I used it at the graduation for my daughter on Friday night, and it just keeps growing in my heart. And so I'm going to share it with you guys this morning. So, and it's so amazing it's on Memorial Day. It's so amazing the scripture that you read this morning because it all ties together, and God is still developing this story. He's still confirming the truth of what's coming out here. So hang with me, all right? So Friday night, I got to preach at graduation for my daughter at PCA. And I got to stand up and start preaching after everyone had been sitting for 1 hour and 5 minutes. So you know how that, you know, everyone's like, all right, hurry up and shut up and sit down so we can get out of here type of attitude. And so I cut it short, and I was trying to get all the different things. And another part of this whole story, background part, is right in the middle of those two requests for your funeral, Mark Lactis, the weirdo that he is. I love Mark, but he's a, I don't know how you live with him. But anyway, Mark, I love you, man. You know that. But you're just a little out there sometimes. You got to admit it. Kim's going, oh, you have no idea. So in the middle of all this happening, Mark comes up to me out of the blue after a message that I got done preaching and asked this question that had absolutely nothing to do with it. I just got done preaching about it. It's just like, where are you coming from? But you bug me, man. So he asked me this question that just got mixed in with the funeral and all this stuff. He asked this simple question, and this was the question he asked that kind of fits all this together. It was, if God is love, and I'm going to try to paraphrase this correctly. If God is love, and we know God is love because 1 John says very plainly, God is love. All right? No ifs, ands, or buts. If God is love, this is the question he says. If God is love, why is it in the definition of 1 Corinthians? I'm giving you more credit than you deserve here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love, you know, love is patient, love is kind, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Not trying to say love isn't important, but part of the definition of love is love keeps no record of wrong. So he says, if God is love, this is an interesting question. If God is love, and the definition of love is that love keeps no record of wrong, how is it that God keeps record of, we're going to have to give an account? You know what I'm talking about? Someday. We're going to have to give an account. So if God is love, then why is it that it says God keeps no record of wrong, but we are going to have to give an account one day of our lives? And that just bothered me. So it all started fitting together. I'm going to try and get all this washed out together here today. So we might be here just a little bit. Donuts might be early. You just never know. So I was preaching this message on Friday night to my eighth graders. And when I was asked to do it, I was wondering, What am I going to say to, it's all girls, nine girls, eighth grade girls. I'm thinking, what is a 50-year-old man going to say to nine eighth grade girls? What do I have in common with them? And so I was telling them on Friday night, it started making me think back to junior high, you know, going back to junior high, what it was like being in junior high, and all my memories of junior high, all of them, you know, all three of them. And that's exactly right. I have three memories of junior high, and I'm really not joking. I mean, there might be some peripheral ones now that people remind me of stuff, but I in all my thinking about junior high, I could remember three memories. And I shared my three main memories of junior high. Number one, I'll go through these really quick. And number one was my first kiss. You always remember your first kiss, right? So my first kiss was with, she's an eighth grade cheerleader. I was in seventh grade on the basketball team. Full disclosure, I was a manager, but anyway, I was on the basketball team, traveled with them everywhere. So seventh grade, grader, you know, little guy, dating the eighth grade cheerleader, all this other stuff. So I'm dating this eighth grader and dating. I don't know how you could define dating, but anyway. So one day after basketball, one night, really cold night, super, super cold. I mean, it was freezing, super cold night. I'm walking her home after the basketball game, and you know, I'm nervous and stuff, and we're holding hands. I don't know if I've ever really held hands and walked with a girl anywhere, but it's at night. We're walking home, and we're holding hands and the whole thing, and we walk all the way to her house, and we get to her house, and we're in the backyard, and there's this great big pine tree. I remember the pine tree, and we're standing behind the pine tree, and we're standing there just kind of talking and stuff, and I remember she goes, "So you want to kiss me goodnight?" And my mind is like racing. I mean, going all over the place. I'm like, yeah, what? Yeah. And so she's like, okay. And so my first kiss, so, you know, I close my eyes because I remember you're supposed to close your eyes. It's no good to be looking, you know. So I close my eyes and I do this. And my first kiss was the inside of my coat because I had my zipper zipped all the way up in the collar. And it's like this. And so I kissed the inside of my zipper and she kissed the outside of my zipper. And that was my first kiss. And it was, wow, it was amazing. Good stuff. I don't even remember if I touched the ground all the way home. That's, I remember that. Exactly, yeah. To the zipper, that's, yeah. That would have been hard to explain, that's for sure. Whew. I remember that. I remember my second real memory of junior high, and lots of things. I know junior high was a great time. I remember it had to be because, you know, we went, our basketball team that I was a manager of, we went 40-0. We were the first team in Logan Junior High history. I don't know if there's still a placard up in the gymnasium or not anymore, but our basketball team went 40-0. We never lost a game all the way through junior high, even A games, B games, everything. They had a big placard. It was there for a long, long time of whatever year we were in junior high and all the names of everyone. Is it still there, Drew? Yeah, I don't care about those old people. I don't even pay attention to that stuff. So anyway, so well, I'm 40-0. So I'm sure there was really great times, but I don't remember a single basketball game. I don't remember a single play. I don't remember any of that stuff. Don't remember it. But I remember Bill Kaiser, and I told you guys this story once before. Bill Kaiser was one of my teachers, and he was my speech teacher. And we had a speech class. It was like a full semester speech class that we had to have. And I was in seventh grade and scared death. I've never given a speech before in my life. I've told you the story. I know I have. But it had to be a persuasive speech, what we were supposed to do. And so I remember I was so scared, and I was so worked up about it. And I got this poster of these little cats, these little kittens, these two little kittens, this adorable, this little ball of yarn and a big old poster that I found somewhere in our house. And I put this poster up on the bulletin board when I got up to do my speech. And everyone was like, oh, it's so cute. Look at the kittens. And kids were actually saying, oh, how cute that picture is, and all sorts of stuff. And I got to the point, and I remember this exactly. I went, I hate cats. And from that point on, I was persuading people why dogs were a better pet than cats. And, I just went through the whole reasoning of why dogs are better than cats. And, you know, not a real earth-shattering or anything like that, but I remember Bill Kaiser afterwards. I remember Bill Kaiser says, Eldon, he gave me a great grade. And I remember him saying to me, Eldon, you're not a very good athlete. And I remember that. He says, but God has blessed you with the ability to communicate to people, and you need to pursue that. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that was in me. And he brought it out, and through the rest of the semester, he encouraged it. And he encouraged me to continue to pursue it through high school and different things like that. And I've told you before, I don't know if you remember this, but I've actually written to Bill Kaiser and told him, thank you. And he used the word God when he said that. God has given you. I remember that. I wrote to him. I said, thank you for encouraging me in that way. And I remember Bill Kaiser wrote me back and says, Eldon, I remember your first speech. And I didn't say anything. He says, I remember your first speech. I hate cats. You remember. He made an impact in my life. Last memory I'm going to share with you. This is background stuff still. Last memory that I'm going to share with you still gets me. Okay, so on basketball team, lots of road trips, lots of road games and stuff like that. So we were on the bus, and it was 7th graders, 8th graders, and the cheerleaders were all on the bus, okay? And so you know how it works on the bus, kids, right? All the cool kids get sit in the back, right? Yes, all the cool kids get sit in the back, and all the not-so-cool kids get sit in the front. The kind of closer you are to the front, the less cool you are. Well, you know where I sat. I'm the manager. Nowhere near the back. And I remember in 7th grade and all the way through 7th grade and all the way through 8th grade, something really weird happened. I didn't understand the significance of it, and I really didn't understand what was really going on. I really didn't get it. But somewhere on one of the trips back, we'd always sing songs. There and back, I don't know why, we'd sing, we will rock you, and all these, you know, different songs that we'd chant and sing on the bus and stuff like that. And I don't remember exactly when it happened, but at one point in time, on a night ride back from one of the games, someone in the back of the bus started a song. And it was very short-lived the very first time, very short song, but it continued to grow. After every game, it seemed like this song was sung on the bus, and it continued to grow because after a while, each kid started making up their own verse to this song, and it just kept going longer and longer and longer. I don't remember if I ever made up a verse to it. I don't know if I ever even recognized what the song was really about until later on. But then all of a sudden I recognized that someone stood up, took a stand, and made a memory that will last in my lifetime, and now it's going to be in yours too, because, gosh, you're going to make me do this? We're going to sing this song, okay? I'm going to lead you in a song. Ready? So what's going to happen is I'm going to sing the verse, and you're going to repeat it back to me, okay? I'm going to start it, and some of these, you guys know what song I'm doing because I do it on the bus when we go to different places, and the kids are like, oh my gosh, here we go again. But I want to sing, I want to share this song with all you guys, all right? We're going to make a memory, and this story of whoever this person was is going to continue on. You guys ready? Here we go. Don't leave me hanging here, because it's going to be really embarrassing if you leave me hanging. If I'm doing it, you're going to follow me, brother, all right? Here we go. King Jesus is all.
King Jesus is all.
My all in all.
I know he'll answer.
When I call. Come on.
Walking by my side.
I'm satisfied.
King Jesus is all.
My all in all.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
From east to west.
King Jesus is the best.
From east to west.
King Jesus is the best.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
From Pepsi to Coke.
King Jesus is no joke.
From Pepsi to Coke.
King Jesus is no joke.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na. I'm going to stop there right there. Okay? That's, but you can see how it kept growing because It's not like you just make up your own verse, and each kid started making up their own verse. But every time it came back to King Jesus. Here's the neat thing about this, and I don't understand it, and it still got me today. I don't know who started the song. I don't know. I've asked, since I became a Christian, that song came back into my head. I don't know why. I sing it all the time to myself. I even do the little echo part for myself. And I've asked, when I've run into classmates, I've asked them that were on the basketball team. As a matter of fact, just last week, I thought, I'm going to tell you flat out, I thought it was Doug Robbins. I really did. I thought it was Doug Robbins and John Hedrick because they went to St. Louis, the Catholic school, and I thought they were part of some youth group, and I thought it was Doug and John and those guys because they were part of the team, and I thought maybe they were the ones that started. So when I ran into Doug last week at Schoff's graduation party, I pulled Doug aside, and I've done this to about a half dozen different basketball players, and I really thought it was Doug. And so I went up to Doug, and I said, Doug, do you remember this song? He's like, what song? And I started singing it to him a little bit. He looked at me kind of funny because you know how he sings. But he looked at me kind of, he goes, yeah. And he says, I haven't thought about that song forever. I said, so you started it, right? You and John? No, I have no idea who started it. I said, you don't know either? He goes, no. And I've asked like five or six different people. And so Mrs. Salzman, so Sean Salzman was part of the basketball team with us, all right? So when you see Sean, I want you to ask him if he knows who started that song. I don't know if he did or not, but I would like to know. And you know what? It doesn't matter who started it, I guess. But whoever did started something really amazing. Really amazing. And they were brave because all the other songs that we were singing were, you know, we will. And this person in the back started this song about King Jesus. And I don't know if it affected anyone else's life but mine. Evidently it did, because when I reminded Doug, he's like, oh yeah, man, that was cool. But it's part of the story. And what I was telling the girls on Friday night, what I'm telling you is, all we really get and take, and this is how it connected to the funerals too, all we really get and take from this world are memories. Memories is all we've got. It's a pretty amazing thing, because we work for all this other stuff. We spend so much time and energy on all these other things. And honestly, when it comes right down to it, we want to be remembered. Memorial Day. Don't forget the sacrifice. Have you ever thought it's strange when we die? I love Nathan brought this up to me this morning. Do you remember thinking it's weird that when we die, we put a stone headstone with our name on it? Why do we do that? So we aren't forgotten. But you know what? Truth be known, large mass of the mounds of stones that are in the graveyard today, if you walk through there, I don't know who they are, do you? I don't know what they did. All I know is there's a little space between the date and the date. And that's it. And it really started bothering me. I started really thinking about this. About my own memory and how horrible it is. Is it all gone? Are all my memories of eighth grade gone? Except those three? In high school? I don't remember any of that either. Barely remember yesterday. Unless Kathy gives me a list of her things at the grocery store, I can't remember six things on a list. Is all that stuff gone? Once I'm gone, is it just disappeared forever? Is it vanished? Is it have no meaning, no significance, no power, no nothing? This is where the message starts. No. Whether you realize it or not, it's all being recorded. It's all being recorded. Every moment is being recorded. In Revelation chapter 20, this is what it says. I know it's a repeat for the people at the graduation. I apologize, but we're going to keep going. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And earth and sky fled from his presence. all the stuff that we think is so important. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in those books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person, listen to this, each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. And I remember reading that and thinking, wow, these books. I know I skipped over a little piece there, a very important piece. We'll get back to it. These books that are in heaven are recording it all. And when I say it all, I mean all of it. Take a look with me in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. This is what it says, verse 13. And we can back up very easily. We can look at it, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Did you hear that? The word of God judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing is laid bare. It says, nothing, verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Did you hear that? Everything is laid bare before him. We mean everything. I mean everything. It's all there. It's all recorded. And one day, we will stand before the throne, every one of us. And it will be laid before us. And we're going to have to look at it. There'll be no covering it up in that moment of judgment. So when I say everything, and I mean everything, I got to looking at Scripture and seeing what that really means. Take a look with me in Matthew chapter 10. You're getting the full meal deal today, man, I'm telling you. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. Let's back up to verse 26. It's so cool. So this is going to start sounding really harsh here, but hang with me, all right? I'm not getting down on you, because we're going to bring it up to a level that you've never gotten to before. I hope. Maybe you have, and if you have, I'm jealous of you, if you've been living there. So here we go. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, it says, do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that not be disclosed. Nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Did you hear that? Not even a sparrow in all of creation is going to fall to the ground that God doesn't know it's happening and ordain it to happen. I'll take it a step further because it's in his realm. There's not a leaf that is let go from a tree a moment before God wills it. That's how big he is. That's how grand he is. How awesome his thoughts and his ideas and his purpose is. I know it sounds big, but it's even bigger than that. And then he says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me, this is important, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. You see, God knows us so completely. The books are so jam-packed with the most minute details of who we are as individuals. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. Of all the creation, of all mankind, everyone's moments are being written down. But you know what? I know it's possibly because it's God. And I know it's God and he's able to do it because we try to do that ourselves. You know how I know that? I know it's possible because this is a massive thing, but we as men have been able to almost recreate it in a very small way. You know how I know that? Because every once in a while, I'll wake up in the morning. As soon as I get going, my phone will ding. You know what I'm saying? Just all of a sudden, I didn't ask it to ding or anything, but it will ding. And I'll open it up, and it'll be this Facebook thing. You know what I'm talking about? And it says, Eldon, just want to remind you of a memory that you shared, you know, 6 years ago. And it has this little picture that someone posted. It probably wasn't me, but it's got this little picture that posted. And as soon as I, you know, I don't remember that, but as soon as I see the picture, all of a sudden it reminds me of the memory that I had that really happened. I'm like, oh, how cool is that? So if we can do that as men in a massive scale of Facebook around the world, my God is more than capable of hanging on to every moment and be able to recall it at any point in time and bring it back up and lay it before us bare. You know what I'm saying? So don't think that he can't. Don't think that that's too impossible for God, because he's more than able. Know what he's able to remember and write down in that book? Take a look with me in Matthew chapter 25. I told you there was a whole lot more to it, Dean, and you guys just didn't get it. So Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. This is what it says. This is what he's recording. All the things that he's recording in his book, probably much more, but this is all I can handle in my own little mind. Here's what he's writing down. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will say and answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When would we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You know what that tells me? God is looking at every action that we do. Every step. Every action, everything that we do, every act of kindness, every act of selfishness, every act that we do is being recorded. That's pretty easy, right? It gets a little deeper. Take a look at Matthew chapter 12. If I'm getting too much, if it's getting overwhelming and you need me to stop, it's okay. Just please say so and we'll stop. And we'll carry on and get all the, because this, I know it's a lot to chew on. Are you all with me still?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus speaking again. We're going right to the big guy here, all right? Jesus speaking again. The good man, Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 35, the good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in him. Verse 36, But I tell you that men will have to give an account, here we go again, an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Here it goes again. Remember, if you'll confess me before others, I will confess you. If you can deny me, I'll deny you. Here we go again. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So He's recording the actions. He's recording the words. Okay, we got that. We kind of had an idea about that, right? But it keeps going. Take a look with me. In Philippians chapter 4, Nathan gave me this one. I'm stealing it, totally stealing it, admitting it freely, and I thank him for it. Philippians chapter 4, Paul speaking. We get the actions, we get the words, but here's one we don't think about all that much, and we need to realize, okay? Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Paul writes to the Philippians, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So Paul is setting it up. He's saying, I'm good. I'm good. No matter what my circumstances, I'm good. Okay? But then he goes on. He says this very interesting thing. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared it with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. So he's saying to the Philippians, you were the only church, you were the only people who shared financially with me in the ministry and kept me going. That's what he's saying to them in no uncertain terms. And then he says, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again, then when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, and I believe Paul, I love when Nathan said this, not that I am looking for a gift. He said already, I'm good. I'm not looking for a gift. I don't need anything. But listen to what he says, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. Did you hear that? You know what that's saying? It's saying that God not only knows what we do, God not only knows what we think, he's not only recording these things, God, he's keeping an account of our accounts. Rut-row. He's keeping an account of our accounts. Why is he doing that? Because you know what? What we give is really a reflection of who we are and who we recognize him to be. Our actions, our words, our accounts, but it don't end there. If you go on and read again a little bit more, it says very plainly, whew, you want me to stop now? No? All right. Some of you, everyone else is saying, yes, stop. First Corinthians chapter 4. No, I did not give all of this to the junior hires. First Corinthians chapter 4. I'd love to just read all this, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to jump right to the verse. Verse 5. No wonder that's making no sense. I'm in 2 Corinthians, and we need to be in 1 Corinthians. Was I looking confused? I was. There it looks much better. Therefore, judge nothing. Here we are, judge again. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light, once again, everything. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Did you hear what's recorded in the book? Our actions, our words, our accounts, but behind all that, our motives for doing, saying, and thinking, and giving. It's all recorded. So when I read that, I got to get it all out. I got to get it all out. It's just going to drive me crazy. You see, what that says is we can do all the right things. We can say all the right words. We can think all the right thoughts, and we can give all the right money. But if we don't do it for the right reason, it's all for naught. And the reason I say that, I finally got a clear understanding of that passage where it says, on that day, some will say to me, Lord, Lord, remember this? And they'll say, we prophesied in your name, and we healed in your name, and we did this in your name. And what did Jesus say? Away from me, I never knew you. And that passage has always bothered me, but all of a sudden I understand. You see, we can do all these right things. We can heal. We can preach. We can do all this stuff. But if we're doing it for the wrong reason, if we're doing it for our own glory, man, I sang a song so you could all see how I can sing. If I do all these things for the wrong reason except to advance God's kingdom and his story. By the way, I did not sing so you could hear me sing. I sang that song not to satisfy Dean and Joyce because they asked me to. I sang that song so the man who was in the back of the bus, his story, his bravery, his willing to step out in faith and sing a song of Jesus in the midst of seventh and eighth graders, his story continues on now. God's glory continues on from his step of faith because I'm sharing it with you. It continues because the only motivation that is going to be recorded with any importance in that book that's going to last are the things that we do say, think, and give for the glory of God. For the glory of God. So what does that mean? What does that mean? This is where I have a hard time explaining it. It's so big. And it's changed my life. It really has. I was trying to get this out in words to Nathan this morning, and he just kept sitting there looking at me, and all of a sudden scriptures are coming to his mind, he's sharing them with me, and we're just going back to this dialogue back and forth. And literally, you could ask him. We're back in my office. The donuts are here, by the way. Brian just came back in. So, sorry. But glory to God, right? Praise God. Thank you, Brian. Wow, I've been preaching a long time. All right. We're talking about this, and I'm trying to get it out of my head and out of my mouth and explain it in such a way. And literally, you could ask Nathan. I all of a sudden just went into a blubbering pile of goo. I mean, I started bawling uncontrollably, didn't I? My nose, I did. Nathan, I had to get up, and Nathan had to walk away because I think he thought he was going to get him all wet. Because, I mean, it just, because here's what it is. You know, we talk about heaven and what it's going to be like, and I don't have any idea what it's going to be like. It's going to be so magnificent, so unbelievable, so majestic and unbelievable. We understand that eternity is going to be God revealing his glory to us forever, and we have no idea what that's going to look like. Some people think it's just going to be this really bright light we're just going to look at and be mesmerized by. I don't know, but you know what? I think I got a glimpse of what it's going to be like, because if God keeps no record of wrong, if God keeps no record of things that don't have anything to do with his glory, and that's wrong, because everything was created for his glory. You got that? Everything, every leaf, every sparrow, every hair on your head, everything that you are was created for God's glory. If it is not used for his glory, then it was used wrongly. And if it was used wrongly, it's going to be done away with. It's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But everything that is done, all of his creation, that points to God's glory, is going to be a part of eternity. Your story, the things that you do, the things that you say, the things that you give, the things that you think that are in accordance with God's glory to give him back the praise, is going to be recorded and kept for eternity. And we're going to, I don't know this, but whew, here it goes. When we get to heaven, I think his full glory is going to be exposed to us. And that full glory is going to be a part of our lives that are all intertwined. We're going to see his full glory, his full plan of what's going on around us in our lives. We don't understand why that accident happened. We don't understand it. But we know that something miraculous happened in that accident. This person was saved, or this person was taken, or this illness came, or this illness was taken. And we don't understand all the wildfires and hows it happened. But in God's glory, when he reveals the entire plan, he's going to start with creation. That's going to take forever. Just get through creation. How glorious that was. But as he unfolds all of creation and his glory before us, get this. We're going to see and know in full what we only know in part right now. Because we only saw one little part of that accident, and that we were saved, let's say. Okay? But when God reveals it, we're going to see the angels that swoop down. And we're going to see what happened in the midst of all the things, the chaos that was going on. We're going to see God's full glory and what he was doing in that moment. And here's the important thing that you have to understand and I have to understand. The things that we give him the glory for, that when we recognize it and we say, wow, thank you, Jesus, are the things that are going to last and are going to be a part of that story. But if we don't acknowledge him, and this is a scary statement I'm about to make, if we don't acknowledge him, if we just say, and this is what a lot of the world's doing, it was just an accident, no glory to God, does that become a part of the story? So what's that mean? It means for all of us, we need to live each moment, take every thought captive, take every action that we do and every word that we speak, and we need to conform it into the likeness of Christ and do each thing, each moment, for the glory of God. Because the simplest moment in the world, I was telling Nathan, the simplest moment in the world, sitting outside in a deer stand and watching, focusing on a single leaf that falls off the tree and watching it fall all the way. Have you ever done that? Watch one leaf fall from the top of the tree as it let go all the way to the ground and see where it lands and say, thank you, Jesus. That moment just became a part of eternity's story. Every moment he gives us was for a reason. You know what? Why you were created? To bring him glory. With every moment, we have an opportunity to bring him glory, to allow each part of our lives to be a part of the eternal story that we will get to have a part of if, and here's all it is, we're about the end, if our name is written in the book that Revelation chapter 20 talks about, the book of life. You see, ultimately, to be able to give God glory, you have to have faith. You have to have faith that God let the tree let go of the leaf to fall to the ground. You have to have faith that there was a reason that this person got cancer. You have to have faith that all these things are happening for a reason, and that for all things that are going on, God will cause all things to work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. All these things are working for God's glory to be a part of the eternal story that we are going to experience for eternity. All things are for him and in him and around him and about him. It changes your life. It gives us meaning and gives us purpose. And the reason I say that is that all these things can be placed before him. There's one last passage. I'm going to share it, and then I'm going to be done. If I can find it. First Corinthians chapter 3. If I'm so out of whack, you can just tell me afterwards, or you know, that's all right. We can talk about it, but listen to this passage at the end here, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, by the grace God has given me, and beginning at verse 10, we could go all the way back, but verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. You know what that's saying? Each one should be careful how he lives. Each one should be careful what they do, what they say, what they think, what they give, why they give, and the motives behind it. Each one should be careful how they build. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. You have to have faith in him. That foundation has to be there first. If any man builds on this foundation using gold and silver and costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because a day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. So what he's saying, that our day of judgment, everything will be laid out. Every action, every word, everything is going to be laid out. And it's all going to pass through the fire of judgment of whether it brought God glory or not. If we brought God glory through what we did, it's going to come through. If we lived our lives for ourselves and our own selfish purposes and the things that we want, and we live it for ourselves without giving God the credit and the glory, it's going to be burned away. Because that's exactly what it says. Listen to what it says. It says, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will what? Receive his reward. What is that reward? It's watching a part of your story be a part of God's glory and the eternal story that he has orchestrated. If it's burned up, we lived our lives for ourselves, but our names are written in the book. It says he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. You know what that says? When you're sitting there watching the story of God's glory unfold, if you lived your life for yourself, for your own motives, for your own purpose, your part in that story that's saved for eternity is going to be very small. You'll sit there and get to enjoy God's glory, and that's awesome, and that's fantastic. But the reward we're going to see is when we hear their faithful God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Here's a part where you played in this grand story of all the pieces coming together in this grand tapestry of a picture. I am blown away. I'm done. I don't know what else I can say. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. To God be the glory. We have an opportunity to serve him and live for him and glorify him. And even now, as we sit here, and you're thinking, man, I messed up here. I didn't do it right there. I goofed up here. I'm such a mess. Here's the awesome thing about it. Right now, you have an opportunity to back up from those mistakes, from those flub-ups, from those massive things that you didn't do right. Even you can have the opportunity to change the motives of the things that you did in the past. Right now, you have the chance to change that by just now acknowledging, Lord, I messed up. I am a sinner. I'm so stupid because I did it wrong. But now I see the light and the truth and the importance of why you created me, and I can repent from the things that I did wrong and give you the glory for it. You know how amazing that is? Because I love it. I love when our kids do good things. I'm so proud of them. It's so fantastic. But I'm even more proud of them when they make a mistake and they acknowledge it and they turn from it and learn from it and grow in the grace of God. It makes me just swell as a parent. And it's the same way with God right now in you. He says, you know what? I know you've messed up. I know you. I know the hairs of your head. I know the motive of your heart. And I know you can change it if you just have the faith that I can change all these things in your life right now if you just now acknowledge me in completion, in totality, that he is God. It was just a simple message for a funeral. There's no simple messages when it comes to Jesus and his plan. Live each day, each moment, each word, every thought for his glory. And it will become an amazing, intricate brushstroke in the masterpiece of God's glory. All for him. Amen.